Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll have all of eternity to remember. Amen. What he's done for us. And I believe it'll never get old. Amen. And it'll just be from glory to glory. We'll just worship him. And my, we just have a little taste of it here tonight. Amen. Here on earth. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here with you tonight. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. And you can be seated for a moment. Amen. Just want to greet you in the name of the Lord, and want to be praying for Brother Baker. Amen. Just to give him a little bit of a rest here in these midweek services. Amen. And you know, I was in a little bit of a rush coming in here tonight, and I didn't bring my little handy dandy iPad. So thankfully we have paper still. Amen. But I don't have any of my quotes or my scriptures here in my notebook, but I do have them on my phone, so thank the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. But it's a little tough to read it, so maybe I'll just be reading it off the screen tonight. So we'll just rely on Brother Fernando to keep me on track. Amen. Amen. Well, God surely is good, isn't he? And amen, there's many sick here tonight, or not here, but many sick that aren't here tonight, amen. And so we just want to be lifting them up and praying for them, and amen. Just it's an interesting time that we live in, but we know that these trials and all these things that we go through are predestinated, amen. And we know that nothing is out of order. And you know, we have such confidence in that, amen? Just as children of God, we just don't have a thing to worry about. You know, really, God's got it all in control, you know? Amen. And we can have confidence in him tonight. Amen. Amen. Do you love him? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's open our Bible tonight, and if we could stand, just read a couple of scriptures here. And, you know, this is nothing new and, you know, strange or, you know, anything tonight. I had this little thought on my heart that's titled The Meditation of My Heart. And so maybe just for a little midweek, you know, Bible lesson, we could look at some of the things here in the scripture. Amen. Proverbs 23:7. It's easier to read it up there than it is on my phone. I don't have my glasses either, so I'll tell on myself. I was trying to look at it on my phone, and I kept making the font bigger, and then I'd look at it on my phone. Nope, still more. And I had to do it like three times to get it to where I could actually even see it. So, amen. Appreciate the screens, amen. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Amen. Just a nugget of truth from the scripture. Amen. Now, don't get ahead of me. I didn't. Oh, okay. All right. He's going a little. This is all I got here. You're doing fine, brother. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. What a promise that we have tonight. Amen. But look at what it starts with. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. So we want to talk about the meditation of our hearts tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, We just thank you, Lord, for your eternal word. And Father, we thank you for the truth that we have in this hour, Lord, where you've come and you've revealed it to us, Lord. You've opened this book. You've opened our eyes and our understanding to it, Lord. And Lord, you've given us a feast, Lord. You've given us a grand buffet, Lord, where we can just come and receive your word. And Lord, let it wash us and let it provide nourishment for us and let it bless us, Lord, and let it correct us and let it help us, Father, walk day by day closer to you. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you would just be with us during this time. Lord, as we surrender to your word, Lord, no matter what your word says, I want to line up to it, Lord. I want my attitude, Lord, to be, Lord, whatever you say, that's what goes, Lord. I don't care what I have to change in my life. Whatever it is, I'm wrong and your word is right, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that your word would just come in a mighty way tonight and stir our hearts, Father, as we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Tonight you can be seated. Amen. So the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart. Amen. That's a powerful statement right there. Amen. So whatever he thinketh, it's what he is and it's what he becomes. Whatever you put before you in meditation and whatever your heart grabs a hold of, that's what you become. Amen? The place where a seed is planted and where a seed is watered, that's your heart. That seed is planted in your heart. The Word of God is a seed and it can be planted in your heart. And that place where it's watered and it's tended to, where it germinates and grows, and then it brings forth fruit. Amen? And that fruit becomes the life that you live. So whatever word, whatever you meditate in your heart, whatever you put in, you allow in your heart, and you allow your heart to tend and to water, that's the fruit that you're going to receive in your life. So that's the power of the meditation, or what a man thinks in his heart. Amen? So it's a powerful thing that we have access to. And so that determines how we live our lives. That determines what our actions and decisions are. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. So Psalms 1 tells us that a man that delights in the word of God and meditates on it day and night will be like a fruitful tree planted by the river of water. Amen. A river of water is a bountiful supply. Amen. That means there's no limit to it. Amen. If he will meditate day and night in the word of God, he can tap into that anytime. Anytime that there's a drought, it doesn't matter. What's going on in the land? He's plugged into a river of water. Amen. He can tap into it. He can draw whenever it's needed. It doesn't matter. Day, night, it's there. On demand, when it's needed, and it's going to produce good fruit. So what we want to talk about, this idea of the meditation of our heart. Now, the word meditation, or the act meditation, is something that we hear about a lot in our secular realms, right? In different Eastern religions, and of course, you know, you have like Hindus and Buddhists and different things that have their forms of meditation, right? And you've got people doing yoga and they meditate and do all these things, right? Well, so that's, they are doing what they would call a meditation, or where they're clearing their mind and all these things. But that's not what the word is. That's not what we're talking about, right? What we're talking about is not something that opens you up to evil spirits. Like, that's what that meditation is designed to do, to clear your mind and to, you know, they have all these things. I don't want to go into that, right? But what we're talking about, what the Bible is describing as meditating on the Word of God, it's putting the Word before you in your thoughts always. Right? Meditation is simply thinking or concentrating about a certain thing, focusing on a subject, right? Or a whole series of subjects. It's a focus and attention. Because if you're interested in something, you'll think about it. Right? If you're a sports fan, you'll meditate about sports. Right? If you're into cars, you'll meditate about cars. You'll think about it. Right? It'll become a place of mental focus. Amen? So whatever that you hold before you and focus on and allow to be the center of your thoughts, that becomes the meditation of your heart. Amen? That becomes a part of your daily walk, your daily life. Amen? Now, we can choose what that is. It's within our power to choose that. Amen? What the meditation of our heart is. And there's always lots to choose from. Is that right? And there's always things that are trying to become the meditation of your heart. They're vying for position. Right? And the enemy would like to push anything he can in front of you to make it the meditation of your heart. Let's look at Joshua 1:6. We've got that one. Be strong and be of good courage. This is Joshua's commission, right? For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He says, but only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So he's setting them forth in the land, but he's saying, look, keep the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of this law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that's according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. So his command, his admonition to them is to keep the law, right? And that was how they pleased Jehovah. That was how that they stayed in line with God, was by keeping the law, right? Well, the way that they kept the law, he gave them advice. Meditate on it. Keep it before you. Think about it all the time. Right? Now, we are not living in the time of keeping of the law. Amen? So that's not how we find our relationship with God. Our relationship is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? It's through grace. But the application is still true that if you meditate on the word... Amen. It will be there. It will be a power in your life. Amen. So it illustrates the point that whatever a man thinks, that's what he becomes. If they think about the law and obeying the law, guess what? They'll obey the law. If you think about what the word and you think about what God has said about you in the word, you think about the promises of the bride in this age. You think about the promises to the church, to the individual, to the believer. You think about the things that have been revealed to you. You meditate on those day and night. I guarantee it. You'll walk in it. Amen. And the result for them was that they would be prosperous and have good success. Amen. Next one, Psalm 77. He says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Amen. You think it was an accident that we sang that song tonight? I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. And brother, I believe Brother Baker read this scripture here several weeks ago, speaking about this very subject from a different direction, right? Meditate also. The Bible says meditate. Right? Not Eastern. Meditation. What? I don't even know how they do that. I'm not even going to try. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Right? I don't know. Whatever it is. Amen. But he says, think about God's works and talk about it. Amen. If we talk about what he's doing, then guess what? We won't be talking about what the devil's doing. If you talk about what his word says, what he's doing, what how he's blessing you, what he's doing in your life, there won't be any room. You'll squeeze out the devil. The devil would like nothing more than for you to talk about and you witness to what he's doing. Let's talk about those good things. Amen? Amen. So the word here in this, in Psalm 77, the word here for meditate is to muse or to study or to ponder or to ruminate. Amen? To really mull it, you know, mull it over, right? So ruminate means to think deeply about something. You know, if somebody's really, really deep in thought about something, you might be talking to them, saying their name, and they're no clue. What? Were you talking to me? Right? Because they're carried away in their thoughts. Daydreaming. Right? Anybody in here ever daydream? Seemed like especially in school, right? When it was, something you just weren't interested in. I used to love those little comics, Calvin and Hobbes, right? And the little, you know, little guy Calvin, he would just daydream. And these amazing, he would make up worlds, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, you'd be jarred back into reality. But his thoughts and his ruminations were so deep. And he got carried away into them. Amen? Oh, that we could be that way with God's word. Amen? Where, I guess I got to, you know, do the things of daily life, but oh, I was just carried away thinking about his goodness. Amen? I was just thinking about what he's done for me. I was just thinking about that marriage supper, that wedding supper that we're all going. I was thinking about how it's going to be. I was thinking about him and what he went through for me. Amen. I was thinking about how glorious it's going to be to be gathered together with all the saints worshiping God. I was imagining what it was like, and I was just carried away. Oh, brother, sister, if you have those thoughts, then worry and cares and things can't enter in. Amen. So, you ruminate on it. Amen? Now, I grew up, as you know, many of you know, I grew up raising cows. Amen? And a cow is a ruminant. Yeah. It's the type of animal it is. And a ruminant is an animal that has multiple stomachs. And the way it works for a cow is they'll eat grass or hay or whatever, and it will go into the first stomach. And it's going to sit there for a while and do its little digestive thing. And some hours later, they're going to lay down after they've eaten. And they're going to rest. They're going to have a time of quiet. And they're going to regurgitate that food right back up. And they're going to chew it. And they call that chewing their cud. And they chew that food that they'd eaten once, already gone down into one stomach, comes back up and they chew it, and then they swallow it again, and it goes through multiple stomachs and through a different digestive process. And they're called ruminants because of that. Well, they're chewing on it. They chew it multiple times. It goes through a big process. They basically eat it multiple times. All right? I mean, it's kind of gross if you think about it, you know, in in our the way that we eat food, but you know, their stomachs are different, right? It's not the same. For us, it's like stomach acids and stuff. Oh, that'd be awful, right? If it comes back up, it's terrible. But for them, you know, that stomach, it has different enzymes, and you know, it's a different, each stomach is different. And so if all they had was to chew on it that first time, they'd be missing out on a bunch of nutrients, because the food that they eat can't break down fully unless they do. They chew on it, and they chew on it, and they chew on it, and they swallow it, and then later they chew on it again. Right? If all they had was that first time, chew it up, swallow it, done with it, they'd probably starve, because they wouldn't be able to eat enough food to get all the nutrients they need. And brother, sister, that's the way it can be for us. We've got to ruminate on the Word of God. Each time we break it down just a little bit more and a little bit more, we gain more and more nutrients. Amen? The first time you hear something in the Word, you might just get it at a little small level. Right? You get a little something out of it, but then the next time, begin to meditate on it. The Spirit of God begins to water it. Amen? You ruminate on it. And what happens? You get it a little deeper. You hear it again, you chew it up again, and you get a little bit more out of it. And each time you're drawing nutrients out of the Word. Amen. You might eat a little bit on Sunday, and then Monday you're chewing on it again. Amen. You ruminate on it. You go back and look at your notes from the Sunday service and at your lunch break, and you begin to pray as you're eating and thinking about what God spoke and God's Word, and you ruminate on it, and you're getting more out of it. Amen. And you do that again on Tuesday. Maybe you're getting a little something more out of it. You hear a message. I can remember messages that I heard, 20 years ago. And I get something totally different out of it now. Right. Yeah. Amen? Right. But I remember when I heard it 20 years ago. I remember, what I got out of it, and God meeting me there. And God speaking to me. But yet each time I hear that same tape, I get a little bit, I ruminate on it. I think about it. I pray about it. The Spirit of God waters it. Amen. It never gets old. Amen. So to ruminate means to turn it over and over and over in your mind. You think about God's Word. You hold it in your heart. Amen. So that's the way that this Word is meant to be consumed. It's not like you can just come one time or hear the Word one time and it's like God just dumps it all on you. Right? That's not the way it works. You don't get it all the first time. We feast on the Word and we draw on it, and we're changed. We're different the next time we listen. We're in a different place in our life. Amen? So we ruminate on it. We meditate on it. And sometimes it just takes time. You know that when a cow eats, whatever it is, grass or hay or whatever, and it ends up down in those stomachs, sometimes it just takes time to break down. Amen? Sometimes you just have to meditate on something. Sometimes you just have to be thinking about it, and then God will reveal it to you later. Brother Branham was meditating on Mark chapter 16 a lot. He didn't understand that scripture. And then God came and met him. And that's when he spoke the squirrels into existence. Because he was thinking about the Word. He was meditating on it. He didn't understand it. And this went on for a long time, right? But yet he kept it before him. And he thought about it, and he prayed about it. And he kept that word there. He knew it was true. He just couldn't apply it. He didn't understand it. He said he couldn't see it in the atonement. But that word was there and it was true. And so he made it the meditation of his heart. And God eventually revealed it to him. Amen? Amen. John chapter 6. He says, verse 55, "For my flesh," so this is Jesus speaking, "my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. For he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and as I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Amen. Now, we know that the onlookers had no clue what he was talking about, right? They were like, "He's a vampire. He's what, you know, get out of here," right? But the believer understands. He says, "He that eateth me," and that word "eateth" that's used there in verse 57, the idea is to gnaw or to chew, or it's like, you know, we would say, we always would say this, you know, when we're preparing a meal or something, maybe it's a holiday, say it's like Thanksgiving or something, and you know, there's people in the kitchen and people are preparing the meal or whatever, and there are people that we would call grazers, right? They're just walking in it. We have like the big island, you know, and there's kind of food around. They're just doing a circle. "What are you doing?" "I'm just grazing." They take a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They're working their way around. And that's all they're doing is grazing. Right? They've been there all day and they've been eating the entire time. Right? Do you guys all know who I'm talking about, right? How's the saying go? If no one came to your mind immediately, it's you. Right? Grazing, right? Constantly eating. Not eating a lot, but you just kind of, just grazing, right? Well, that's what this idea of this is it snacking or eating continually, or more or less continually chewing on. That's the way we're supposed to be with the word, is constant. Not that, you know, not in the sense of, "Oh, well, I just want a little bit here and a little bit there," but that it's continual. In every part of your life, always, no matter where you find yourself, keeping the word before you. Amen? Amen. We have a choice on what we ruminate on. Amen. 1 Timothy, I'd like to read that here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. He said, now this is Paul giving his admonition to Timothy as a young minister of the gospel, right? He says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." So he's giving him, you know, "Until I can come, do these things to prepare yourself for the ministry and to be ready," right? He says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery, and meditate upon these things," right? This is part of his instruction. Meditate upon these things. "Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So Paul exalting a young minister to meditate on these things. Make the choice, amen, to keep the word of God before you. To stay in the word, to stay thinking about it. And he said that the benefits would be evident, that all would see those benefits. Amen? You can tell, brother, sister, when a Christian has been laying in the word. You can tell when they've been rehearsing the promises of God. Amen? When they've been thinking about God's word. Or if they've been thinking about circumstances, if they've been thinking about things of the day, you can tell that too. Their fruits show what they're feeding on. Amen? Amen. And now when people are so hit and miss at church, or they come into church with the wrong attitude, you know what they've been thinking about. What they've been putting before them. Amen? You know what the meditation of their heart is. If the meditation of your heart is the Word, then when you come in, you'll move right into the service. Amen. God help us all. Amen. You say, brother, can it be that simple? Can it be that simple? Can it be that simple that I can just change what I'm thinking about? Yeah, it's that simple. Now, is it easy? No, but it's simple, right? To change what I let take over my mind. Yes, you have control. You can choose. Amen? We're all familiar with this scripture here in Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See how all these things are tied together? Care. Peace. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, things are just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and see in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Think on these things, and you'll do them. And if you do them, you'll have peace. That's pretty simple. Amen. But do we do it? So, this scripture starts out with, do not have care. Be careful for nothing. Right? Full of care. But instead, think on God's thoughts. God's word. Is that right? Think on His promises for you. That's what we should be ruminating on. Amen. That's what we should be digesting over and over and over. Not thoughts of care, but thoughts of God. Be careful for nothing. Don't be distracted by care. Amen? Don't have care capture your heart, capture your attention. Care is anxiety. Being anxious. Amen? Did you know? So what we're talking about is the meditation of our heart. That's our subject. Worry is a meditation of your heart. It's just what you choose to think about. Worry is a meditation. That means you can choose not to meditate on those things. Amen. Meditating on the wrong things is worry. You're thinking about, well, this could go wrong, and that would go wrong. What if this happens, and I wonder about this? That's the meditation of your heart. What's become the meditation of your heart is imagination, is cares, not God's word. And care and worry breeds anxiety. This is the definition of worry. I pulled this from vocabulary.com. If you want to become, good at English, you can go to vocabulary.com. It says, when you worry, you feel uneasy. Worry comes from the Old English word, worgon, which means to strangle. And then it eventually became to mean harass, and then to cause anxiety. I think all those things apply, don't you? Strangle your joy. Strangle your peace. Harass you. cause anxiety in your life. To worry something physically, the verb of worry means to constantly rub it or touch it. Someone who worries like beads or something, they're rubbing them all the time. Constantly, you know, grinding on them. That's what worry does to you. Constantly grinds, chips away, amen? Worry also means to lacerate by biting, like a dog worrying a bone. Gnawing, amen? You ever seen a dog worry a bone? They take a bone, if there's any bit of flesh on it, man, it's gone. Like it's spotless. They'll just sit there and gnaw on that thing until their gums bleed. They're like driven. And they'll just stay at it. Some dogs, I've known some dogs stay at it for hours, days. Just worrying this bone. Just gnawing on it constantly, constantly, constantly. Brother, sister, that's worry in your life. Gnawing at you constantly, constantly. Because you're thinking about the wrong things. Worry is something that eats at you and grows and bites and strangles and cuts off joy. It's a constant rubbing. Steals your peace. Steals your victory. But worry is self-inflicted. Ooh, that was a rough one to swallow. I'll say it again. Worry is self-inflicted. Because you have the choice on what you meditate in your heart. Now, don't get me wrong. We can feel anxiety. Right? Anxiety can be an anointing. It can be a spirit that brings anxiety. But that's not what I'm talking about. Because even if you feel anxiety, if you make the word the meditation of your heart, it will combat that. But worry becomes when you begin to entertain it. And you begin to think about those imaginations. And you begin to let that take over. Then it becomes worry. It's meditation on the wrong things. Amen? Symptoms. The enemy comes, brings symptoms. They're real symptoms. But you don't have to worry about it. You say, well, shouldn't I do the right thing? Yeah, sure, do whatever you need to do. But worry is different. Worry is, oh, I got this and I got that and I'm thinking about, and that's what you're thinking about. Instead of thinking, yeah, I've got this symptom, but God's word says I'm healed. God's word says this. I have this promise. I've been given this, and I know where I stand, and I know who I am, and I know what God said about it. I have that symptom, but so you don't have to worry symptoms. Amen? Or worry circumstances. Well, if I don't worry about it, who will? Nobody needs to. Let God take care of it. Are you His child or aren't you? Amen. You make sure that you're His child. And then make sure that you know that He promised He'd take care of you. And think about that. Meditate on that. But this might happen. That's an imagination of your heart. Memories, affections, imaginations. Remember all of those? That's not the word of God. That's your imagination. This might happen. Well, and God's in control. Let's read this statement from the Message when their eyes were open. He says, now, I don't mean that He made one atonement for your sickness and one for your sins. He's speaking about the atonement. He made one atonement, and that was for sin. And when you deal with sin, you've got to deal with every attribute of sin. The human race, as we're taught in the scripture, didn't have any sickness before sin came in. And then when sin came in, sickness was issued in as an attribute of sin. We'll understand that. Amen. which had to bring death. Sin is death, and sickness follows sin. Worry follows sin. Did you ever notice what a horrible thing worry is? There's not one value in it at all. I was speaking here sometime about to a group of men at a club in a city, and I said, there's not one value. If you was going to be killed in the morning, I said, worry would not help you one bit. Right? So I was just speaking about imaginations. This might happen and that might happen. So are you going to worry about it? Is it going to help it? He's speaking about a certainty. Like, you're not even imagining this, right? There's somebody that's in jail or whatever, and they're going to be killed in the morning. They're not even imagining it. But he's saying, worry would still not help you. I seen one man kind of look down and kind of laugh, and he said, well, what would faith do? I said, well, it'd sign your pardon. That's right. Worry, there's no value in it. Faith, he says, so get away from worry and have faith. So now, if he says, get away from worry, that means we can do that. Right? That means that that's something within your control. Get away from worry. We'll have some more to back it up. Don't worry. A decision that you make. Matthew chapter 13, if we go to the next one here. Verse 22, it says, So this is the parable that Jesus spoke about the different seeds that were sown. He says, he also received a seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word. So some were sown on good ground and on the path and on the rocks and so forth. Remember that parable? And this one, some were sown among good ground, and then thorns and thistles came up, right? And so he's explaining it. I could have got a little bit more of the verses in there, but anyway. He says, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So notice it's two things. There's the deceitfulness of riches, right, which we're not really preaching about tonight, but the care of this world is one of those. And the care of this world is anything that's outside of God's word that exalts itself above God's word and tries to become the focus of your heart. Amen? Natural cares, or being worried about natural things, amen, choke the word and make you unfruitful. Now, it doesn't say they didn't have the word. They had the word. But the care can choke it out. Can prevent good fruit in your life. Because you're meditating on and feeding on the wrong thing. Luke 10:40. This one we're also familiar with. Story of Martha and Mary, right? Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, doth thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? I'm the only one that's doing this. Amen. Nobody's helping me. Tell Mary she needs to come help me. There's dishes to do. There's cleaning. There's food to prepare. Right? Bid her therefore that she help me. If I don't worry about this, who's going to? Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, 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 thou art careful, full of care, and troubled about many things. You are thinking about all these things. You've got in your mind the to-do list that's a mile long. And no doubt those are important things. We do need to eat. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We could say that about ourselves a lot of times, I think. You're careful and troubled about many things. But one thing you should be meditating on. Focusing on it and making it the meditation of your heart. And that's the Word of God. Don't miss what God is doing right in your midst. By being choked with cares. Keep the Word before you in your heart. Amen? Look at, brother, sister, they had Jesus, God in flesh. She had God in flesh in her living room. And she's worried about the dishes. You say, oh, that wouldn't have been me. I mean, can you imagine? God in flesh. And she's thinking about her food and the dishes and all those mundane things. And here's Jesus of Nazareth right there. God, Emmanuel, in her living room. What is she thinking? And yet, he's the same tonight. Brother Branham said, he's here in the same way, in every attribute, in every way, except his physical body. But he's still here. We come into church every service, and he's here. And he's ready, and he's waiting to deliver his word, and to have his feet washed, and to commune with him, and worship him, and we're thinking about other things. We're full of care and troubled. And we got a list a mile long. Right. And we're going through it in our head. We have an opportunity when we get down in our prayer closet to pray to meet that same God. To have an audience with him. And what happens? We're full of care. We're full. We're Martha.
Right.
Let the meditation of your heart be on him. What are you hungry for? Him. His word. His presence. Amen. Let me just quick fire some verses at you. Psalm 49. We're just going to read through these real quick here. Psalm 49:3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 104:34, my meditation of him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord. Amen. This is a pattern in the scripture. Amen. Psalm 119:97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Amen. If you want power over your enemy, meditate on the word. Amen. You'll be wiser than your enemies. Amen. Because you're keeping the word before you always. Amen. Do you believe that? Is that the truth tonight? As we meditate on him, brother, sister, as we meditate on his word, it draws us into worship. Amen. If you have trouble entering into worship, maybe it's because the meditation of your heart has been on the wrong things. The songs that we sing, our worship leaders, they're led to sing the songs that they sing, and they try and always choose songs that are based on truth, right? That are based on the Word of God. And so because there's truth there, you're actually meditating as you're singing. What you're doing is you're putting that word before you. You're actually entering into a spirit of meditation on the word. That's why the spirit can begin to move many times when we're singing a worship song. Because what happens? The word starts to strike home. Right? There's an anointing. There's a spirit that begins to move. but you're thinking about the words. Have you ever been in church? You don't have to answer this one. Have you ever been in church and you're singing the songs and you suddenly realize, man, we just went through three songs and I have no idea what I was saying? He said, you don't have to answer this one. Autopilot, man. I know the song, man. We just went through. Did we sing? What did we sing? I don't know, but you sang the whole song. We just went through three different songs, and you don't even know what words you said. I don't know about you, but it's not during those times when I'm really entering into the spirit of worship. When I'm really entering into the spirit of worship, the words are hitting home. Right? I'm meditating on the word. I'm thinking about the lyrics are hitting somewhere in my heart, and I'm thinking about it, and it's impacting my life, and I'm drawing into worship by the word. Amen? Because I'm meditating on the word of God. It's not superficial. Brother, sister, that's how we make the word of God the foundation of our lives. We say, oh, we want the word. It's the firm foundation, right? We're the house built on the rock, not the one on the sand. We're built on the rock. Amen. We like to say that. But it's only true, brother, sister, if we are in letting that word conduct every part of our life. That's how it becomes the foundation. By being the meditation of our heart. Having it continually before us. Just like Israel did with the law. That was how they lived out the law. They kept it before them always. Having the word in our hearts, the word on our lips. Amen? It then causes us to act and live it out. And that, brother, sister, is a choice that we make. Amen. The fruit of a tree that is bearing fruit, right? Like, a citrus, orange, or apple, or any of those trees that bear fruit. That fruit has nutrients in it. Is that right? That's why we eat it, right? It's good and it has nutrients. But the tree and that fruit can't have nutrients or that particular nutrient unless it is in the soil. Right? It has to get it from somewhere, or in the water or whatever. Right? It has to get it from somewhere. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? We're called to bear good fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. It's a nutrient, but you can't produce something that you're not drawing. If you're not drawing from the word, how are you going to produce the fruit of the word? Amen. It'd be like an apple tree. We'll just use magnesium. We'll say that. I have no idea if apples have magnesium. They probably do. I don't know. But let's say they do. But let's say the apple tree is planted in soil that has no magnesium in it. There's not going to be any magnesium in those apples. Right? Because it can't get it from anywhere. How do you expect to have joy and power and overcoming in your life when that's not what you're drawing on? Amen. When that's not what the meditation of your heart is. When instead you've got the cares and things of the world and that's what your focus is. How do you expect to have the fruits of the Spirit? It will be deficient. Right? It won't produce what it's supposed to produce. But the Bible says that the man that meditates on the word and keeps it before him night and day and night, he shall be like a tree that's planted by living water, and he shall not have to worry about it. You don't have to, the tree doesn't have to worry about, am I getting just the right balance of nutrients for these apples? No, he's plugged in. Let God take care of it. You plug into the living water and let that take care of it. Feeding on the right things. Amen? Thinking about Him and His Word brings Him on the scene. Did you know that? Did you know that you have that kind of power? By thinking about Him, you can bring Him on the scene. Yeah. The meditation of your heart matters that much that it can bring Almighty God on the scene for you. I can see some of you still aren't convinced. So let me read a couple of statements from the message. The resurrection of Jesus. So as they went along the road, they said, "Oh, Cleopas," said his friend, "I'll tell you, I'm discouraged this morning. How could that man ever die? Cleopas, he died. I seen him dying. I seen the sun go down. All the stars refused to shine. I know he died. I seen that soldier ram that spear through his heart and he died. And I know he's dead. And how could he do it? We trusted in him that he would be the great Messiah that would mold all of our spears and the pruning hooks and go out and the Romans would be finished and the world would be tramped down and he'd rule it with a rod of iron and he'd sit on David's throne and there he is laying up in the grave. And how can it be?" They just couldn't understand it. But he says, while they were thinking on these things, a stranger walked out. Now notice, I want to just interject something here. They didn't have the answers. They didn't know, but they were thinking about him. Even in their wondering, what does it mean? And I don't understand. But yet their mind was still on Christ. He says, while they were thinking on these things, a stranger walked out. He says, that's usually, that's when you get to thinking about him, that's when he appears. They were talking about him when he appeared. And that's the reason maybe he doesn't appear to so many of us. We talk too much about other things instead of about Jesus. Maybe we're talking about trading cars or something else. Or the washing, or what kind of soap powder do you use? Listening to the radio, or some kind of nonsense. Amen. None of those things are sinful. Right? But they don't have power. He says that's the reason he doesn't appear. If we just keep our minds on him, let the meditation of my heart. He told Joshua, he said, meditate on these things day and night. David said, I'll bind them on my bedposts. Sure, let them stay inside of you and think on them and meditate on them. And that's when he appears. Did you ever notice how the angel of the Lord comes? This is interesting. Listen to this now. He says, of an evening at 3:00 when I go in. So he's giving us a little insight into his personal walk. Of an evening at 3:00 when I go in, I close everything out. I don't let no one come in. I just sit there and read the word and yield myself until I know he's there. I can feel it when he's coming. He comes in and I know he's there. Oh my, that's the way you do. That's the way the disciples did. They were in one place in one accord in an upper room and they were all up there praising him and all of a sudden he came in. That's the way he does it. Amen. Let's go to the next one. He says, you know, it's when we begin to think about him, that's when he appears. It's when Cleopas and them was thinking about him when he appeared. It's always when, let the meditation of my heart and let all my thoughts and let all my songs, let all that I am just meditate on thee, Lord, day and night. That's the way to get God close to you. How many wants God to be close to you? I think that's what we all want, right? Some of you didn't raise your hands. You guys okay? Everybody awake? Man, I figured that was 100%er, Brother Mike. Everybody wants God close to them, right? You want God close to you? Here's the key. Meditate on him, the Lord, day and night. That's the way to get God close to you. Quit thinking about what the Joneses is doing. And what you're going to do next week and all of this. Just fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. That's right. Go right on down the road no matter what. School keeps or not. If it don't, we turn the teacher out and just go right on believing on the Lord. See? Keep the meditations upon God. Think on these things. The Bible said if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. This is good, solid advice, brother, sister. Let's read the next one there, brother. Hear ye him. Then in the coming week, the Lord willing, we wish to take you some very stern texts to preach the gospel. And also that you might tell the people and be instructed to know how to tell them to receive their healing. So he deals on a daily basis in the meetings. He deals with demons and with healing. Right? And his instruction on how to receive it. He says how to wait and to watch for the Lord as you meditate upon him. It takes that meditation on the Lord to bring him in your presence. That's right. Always. It's while we think on these things that Christ appears. Are you convinced yet? Let's go one more. Blind Bartimaeus, as we said, as he did in the days gone by, if our meditations is taken off of our church affiliations, if our meditation is taken off of our work, or off of superstitions that we have in our mind, superstitions being things that you imagine, right? Could be anything that your imagination can come up with. He says things that we have in our mind and place them upon him and his presence. He will come and do the same thing tonight that he did for blind Bartimaeus on that day. The key is in your hands. Look at what he says. If we'll just do it. If we'll just keep our mind stayed on him. Notice, it's when we are thinking on those things. The Bible said, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Now I want to ask you a question. What good does it do us to come to church? Well, Brother Branham's going to get to preaching now. What good does it do us to come to church tonight, Love Divine Fellowship? Sit in the meeting and ponder and maybe be discouraged because we didn't get a prayer card, or maybe discouraged because of some little thing a neighbor did, or discouraged about one little matter or another. Cares of life. He says that keeps Christ away from you. It's when you're thinking on him. That's when the disciples, after the resurrection, was going down the road to Emmaus. As they were speaking about him is when he appeared to them. We got our minds on too many things of the world. If we would throw those things off our mind and think about him and his soon coming, there'd be more revelations and power in the church. But we keep thinking about the things. Now, brother, sister, this is the neurotic age that we live in. It's the information age, man. It's this and that and right, and it's fine-tuned to distract you. But we've got to think about him. We keep thinking about things. What am I going to do tomorrow? What will I do next week? Will I hold my job? Will this? Will that? All those things are in the hands of God. And his parting words to you tonight, think on Christ. Amen. Let's stand tonight. It's our choice, brother, sister. His admonition to you is think on Christ. It's your choice. You can choose what power that you have. You can bring his presence. You can experience the fruits of the word by making him the meditation of your heart. I mean, we have so many wonderful promises. I mean, just riches untold, blessings of spiritual blessings and promises of what God has said about us and who we are and where we're going. Let's think about those things. Why are you going to let the devil dictate to you what you're going to be thinking about? What you're going to let consume your mind? Drive it away. Amen? Amen? Drive away worry tonight. Amen. Worry is meditation on the wrong things. You can choose not to worry tonight. Amen? Just don't meditate on those things. You don't need to think about them. Meditate on Christ. Think on Christ. Meditate on Him. Whatsoever things are true. Amen? The things that are honest. That's the Word of God. Whatsoever things are just. He's just. He's perfect. Amen? He's good in all His ways. I want to think about those things, don't you? Whatsoever things are pure. He's pure love. His Word is pure, unadulterated. Never changes. Pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. He's the rose of Sharon. His character is beauty. Right. Amen? He's got a spotless bride. And the character of Christ is shining through her. It's lovely. Think on these things. I mean, it's all good news. Think about the good report. Amen. The inheritance that we have, the grapes are yours and mine. That's a good report. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, if there be any virtue, think on those things. If there be any praise, think on those things. There's no virtue, there's no praise on thinking about the cares and worries of this life. The meditation of your heart. It's your choice tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, just a simple little thought tonight, Lord, that you brought from your word. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live it out, Lord. I pray you help us to walk in it, Father. May it not just be empty words tonight, Lord, but may it be something that, Lord, even in the days and weeks ahead, Father, that we just walk in it more and more, Father, making your word the meditation of our hearts. Such a simple truth, yet there's so much power in it, Lord. I pray that you would help each one, Father. Lord, I know there's not a person in this building, there's not a person, Lord, that would even listen to this. I know we can all walk more in this, Lord. Lord, I'm the first one in line. I can walk closer to you, Lord, by meditating on you, by meditating on your word, by putting your kingdom forefront in my thoughts all the time, making that choice, making that decision. Lord, I pray that you help me. I pray you help my brothers and sisters, Lord. May this word, oh God, just move in us, Lord God, and may your spirit tonight give us the strength and the power and remind us, oh God, when the cares of life begin to encroach, Father, may the spirit of God just raise up this word and remind us, just push it out, just push it away. It's not worth it. It's not worth our time. It's not worth worry. How we thank you tonight, Father. I thank you for this midweek service, Lord, this time together with my brothers and sisters. Lord, this time of worship and a time of communion with you, Father. I pray that you just bless each one tonight, Lord. Lord, may they just walk out tonight, Lord, a little bit closer to you, Lord, a little bit further down the road, Lord. Ready to take the next step, Father. Ready to meet the enemy on the battleground. And we know that that battleground is in the human mind. Won't you grant it tonight, Father? Bless our pastor tonight, Lord. I pray that you just give him rest, Lord. Strengthen him, Father, for the battles ahead. Lord, we give you all the glory and the praise, Lord. For you are good and you are worthy. And you are wonderful, and you're our God and our Father. You're our King and our Lord. And we love you tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. About it tonight, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor. And all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me.